Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. I wanted to start off today with a quote from President Thomas S. Monson, and it's from an article in The Ensign from November 2009, and it's entitled, "What Have I Done for Someone Today?" And this is what he says, "The Savior taught his disciples, 'For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it.'" President Monson continues to say, "I believe the Savior is telling us that unless we lose ourselves in service to others, there is little purpose to our own lives. Those who live only for themselves eventually shrivel up and figuratively lose their lives, while those who lose themselves in service to others grow and flourish, and in effect save their lives." That leads to the question of, what are ways that we can give service to others? As we were thinking about that here at the Mormon Channel, we decided that we wanted to talk to a group here in Salt Lake City called Catholic Community Services. And so for the next 2 days, today and tomorrow, we're going to do a two-part series of two individuals from that group who are giving service in our community. But perhaps this may spark some ideas of ways you can reach out and give service to those in need in your community. I have a special guest with us in the studio today. I'd like to introduce Aidan Batar, who is the director of the Refugee Resettlement and Immigration Program for Catholic Community Services here in Salt Lake City. Aidan, thank you for coming onto the Mormon Channel today. We're grateful to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Will you tell us about the Refugee Resettlement Program? This is an amazing program that does such great work, and we want people to know about you.
Yeah, Refugee Resettlement Program for Catholic Community Services started a long time ago. We started resettling refugees back in late 70s when we had a lot of the Vietnamese refugees that were coming from Southeast Asia were coming to Utah. Mm-hmm. At that time, we didn't even have a Refugee Act from the federal government. So basically, the community, the churches, we're doing the services to welcome the refugees, and we have been continually doing the program for a long time. And I would happily say that we have over 50,000 refugees in Utah that were resettled through Catholic Community Services and International Rescue Committee, the two large organizations that resettle refugees.
That is a huge number, 50,000 just in Utah?
Yes, but compared to 15 million refugees worldwide, 50,000, if you look at it, it's just nothing. And every year, the United States accepts about 70,000 refugees coming to all the states, you know. So Utah accepts about 1,100 to 1,200 refugees every year.
How did you become involved with this program?
Well, I was a refugee myself, resettled through Catholic Community Services back in 1994. I came from Somalia. I left Somalia back in 1992 and went to Kenya. I was there for 2 years, and within those 2 years in Kenya, I helped the refugees, you know, in the refugee camp. That's how I started getting involved with the refugees until I was resettled here. And then when I came to Utah, you know, I lived in Logan for 2 years, went to USU, and then later, a wave of Somali refugees were coming in 1996 in Salt Lake City. So the agency called me and said, "We're getting a lot of refugees from Somalia. Are you willing to help us?" I say, "Absolutely. I'll be happy to pay back what I received." So that's when I started getting involved with the Refugee Resettlement Program.
What is it like to have been a refugee yourself and then to be helping others that are in that same situation?
I think one other thing, refugees are coming to the United States is basically they're looking a safe place that they can raise their family. When a refugee family leaving their home country because of the war, or the torture, or whatever difficulty that they face, they basically want to go in a place where they can raise their children safely without any war. But when they come here, there's a lot of challenges that they face, the refugees, especially the language, you know, the weather, everything is foreign to them. So they have to adapt quickly so they can be successfully integrated into our community. So there's a lot of people that helps them when they first arrive, including the community, the churches, you know, working together, and volunteers play a big role in helping the refugee integrate. So we're here to remove whatever barriers that the refugees face when they first arrive. So in that way, they feel safe, they feel welcome in this new environment. We don't want to add any burden onto the difficulties that they have already, you know, witnessed. So we just want to ease all those issues off them, off their back, and then start a new life.
So I'm assuming that you help them with all of those
things at the refugee resettlement program, language, getting adapted into the culture. Is that correct?
Yeah, we do a lot of things for the refugee when they first arrive. When we are notified a refugee family is coming, we secure a housing for them. We pay rent and deposit, and then we fully furnish the apartment. The funding that we receive from the federal government is not enough to pay all the services that we provide for the refugee. We always rely on the community support. One of the great things that we do for the refugee is the partnership that we have with the LDS Church and Catholic Community Services. All the beds that the refugees get when they first arrive are all manufactured at the Deseret Manufacturing. And it's manufactured by refugees who work there at the LDS manufacturing. So the refugees are coming and we're helping them. At the same time, you know, they're going back and working and paying back. So all those beds go back to the newly arrived refugees. So it's a wonderful partnership that we have with the LDS Church. And it doesn't cost to anything at all. Refugees, when they first arrive, they get brand new bed with sheets and blankets, you know, with hygiene kits. So all those things saves a lot of money for the refugees when they first arrive. And then the money that we receive for the federal government, we use it to pay the rent, utilities, and things like household items, pots and pans, dishes, you know, things that they would start a new life, and also food until they get their food stamp. So there's a lot of things that we do for the refugee for the first 6 months. It's very intense. We consider like a newborn baby that hasn't started taking their first step. So we teach them how to start their first step. And then after that, we make sure that they stand on their feet and start walking. So that's what we do for the refugees when they first arrive.
That's quite a work. That's a wonderful work. And it's a lot of work, it sounds like.
It is. It is. And we want to make sure, you know, that they have all the support that they need so they can tomorrow support themselves so they don't be a burden onto the community. So we provide them case management, employment services, health services, and mental health services. As we all know, the refugees experience a lot of war trauma. So when they come here, you know, we need to make sure that they get the treatment that they need so that it doesn't affect their well-being. So a lot of them really do well and cope with a lot of the difficulties. Refugees are survivors. They went through a lot. And for them coming to a new culture, learning a new language, it's not easy, but they have done worse than that. So it is nothing to them, but it takes time. We just need to be patient with them, and we need to provide whatever support that they need. So tomorrow, you know, they'll be a new American and also contributing members of our community here.
Do a lot of them come in families, or do they come more as individuals, or does it just depend?
We have individuals, but a lot of the refugees that we have, they come here as a family. There was a recent report released by the United Nations. Utah ranked number one when it comes to women at risk who are fleeing wars. So Utah is a safe haven for those groups because Utah provides a lot of services, a lot of excellent services, I would say, for those families because we have seen where they're coming from and when they come here, the support that we provide for them, it is amazing. We get them, you know, a job within 6 months being in Utah. A lot of them work at the desert industries. A lot of them work at the humanitarian center where they will get the training that they need and the language, English language that they need. So after 1 year of them being working there, then it would be easy for us to move them a better paying job. By then, they already have a skill. They know the language. And also, they know their surrounding where they live. They know how to use the public transportation. They have friends in their community that is guiding them. And because volunteers do a lot of good things for the refugees, and we could not have done it without them.
If someone wanted to donate their time or become involved, how would they go about doing that?
They can just call us at the Catholic Community Services. Our main number is 801-977-9119. And we have volunteer coordinators that would help the volunteers. You know, we train them and then we match them according to their skill with a family that they can mentor. So the whole family can get involved, including their children, or they can do an individual, or the whole church group can get involved. So we accommodate whatever that the volunteers can do. Imagine you go to a new country where you don't know anyone, and then the first thing when you land at the airport, imagine if somebody has a sign saying, welcome so-and-so to our country, imagine how that is going to go. So that is what volunteers, we want the volunteers to do. And then after that, we want the refugee family, somebody that they can call a friend. I remember when I first arrived in 1994, I lived in Logan. There wasn't any refugees living in Logan at the time. I do still remember the volunteers who helped me, who guided me, who I consider to be part of my family to date.
What a wonderful thing. So are you still in touch with them today?
Yes, still they're part of my family. I still contact them whenever we have events, whenever they have events. Without them today, it would have been, even though I had some family members at the time, mm-hmm. but volunteers played a big role in my life and my family's life.
Wow, that's a great testament to the power of someone reaching out in love. That's wonderful to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. When you have a friend and when you don't have a friend, there's two different things. So a friend can do a lot of things, you know, even somebody that you can talk to, you know, somebody who can hold your hand, somebody who can show you, teach you something. Our case managers that work with our agencies do a lot for the refugees as well. But I think in support with the volunteers also goes a long way.
Is there anything else that we should know about? Or
one other thing I would like to say is, you know, the refugees, they didn't want to leave their home countries. Like each one of us, if we ever had in this situation, we want to be treated the same way. We want to be treated, you know, fairly. We want to be welcome. You know, Utah does a really great job in welcoming refugees when they come to Utah. I have not seen all those 20 years that I have been involved in the refugee resettlement, a backlash from the community. The community in Utah, you know, a well receptive, well acceptance for the refugees and provide a lot. That speak to the truth that, you know, whenever I go to conferences in the United States, you know, Utah always is in the map, you know. So we always ahead of the curve for other states because we have a community that is caring. And refugees, you know, we even have seen refugee families that were resettled here. If their other family members resettled in elsewhere, they're saying, you know, I am in a great state. Which is the volunteers and the community all working together. I think that has been really the key. And also both churches working, Catholic Community Services and the LDS Church, that has been really great. You know, there's a lot of resources that we don't have that the LDS Church have that we can tap into when we need help. I mentioned earlier about the beds that the refugees get at the beginning when they first arrive, the hygiene kits, the clothing, the household items that they get from the Deseret Industries. That support itself, it's a lot. And the funds that we have, we can direct to other needs that the refugees have. Without this all-in-kind support that we're getting from the LDS Church, it would have been impossible for the Catholic Community Services and an International Rescue Committee to provide the good services that we provide without the partnership with the LDS Church. It would have been very difficult.
Wow, that sounds like a wonderful partnership. And the refugees, like you said, play a huge part in that because they're in turn working. So it just seems to be this reciprocal relationship that's really great for all involved.
Absolutely. I mean, refugees, they don't just take it. They pay it back also. Right. I couldn't be doing any better job than what I'm doing today. And I'm doing because I was helped. If I didn't get at the beginning the help that I needed, God knows what I'd be doing today. But it is humbling. It is my mission to pay it back to what I receive. I don't think I will ever pay it back what I receive from this community. I love so much Utah.
That's such a sweet story. Thank you for sharing that with us. That's so great.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us on the Mormon Channel. We're so glad to have you with us today. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us today. If you have any suggestions, comments, or inspirational stories you'd like to share with us, send us an email at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall today. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The song of the day we'd like to leave you with today is called In His Embrace, featuring Catherine Nelson. Thanks again for joining us and have a great day.
sunshine on my face. How did I end up in such a heavenly place? My smile is immortal. It feels good on my lips. Free of doubt and free of any fear is what this is. How long has it been since I was here? In his embrace, safe from the cold, I was here all alone, but my eyes were closed, and I see the light, it lies in me, and I'll do whatever it takes to stay in. Moonlight dark and dim, a sad and lonely picture of the place that I was in. Well, I've learned a little lesson from the fury of my past. The times you feel alone are the ones when you forgot to ask for his saving.
In here.